much for your presence.
Okay, thanks a lot. Good day, everyone. My name is Reinaldo Graziani. I am Italian, and I believe that my homeland is where people fight for the idea. And together with many other Italian friends of Professor Dugin, I am engaged in the dissemination of the multipolar vision, and above all, in the defense of the orthodoxy of the multipolar vision of Alexander Dugin. Our commitment to convey a correct vision of the multipolar theory is also manifested through art. Before and beyond the world, art is a universal language. Over time, art has become a language for communicating with others, but initially it's served to know reality through representation. In fact, art perceives reality and through its interpretation transforms into an idea. Art is a language that starts from the heart and is directed to other hearts. Today, we can confirm that the multipolar theory is a keystone of the epochal change we are experiencing. Today, we can also say that multipolarity is certainly a revolutionary idea. When we use the term revolution, it's important to know its only real meaning. The term revolution, from the Latin revolvere, means to restore a previously established order. If we want to disseminate the multipolar thought, it's very important to defend and nurture the orthodoxy of theory of the multipolar world expressed by Professor Dugin. This topic is of great strategic importance. This is a fundamental issue if we want to achieve a real and lasting victory of the unipolar world, but even more over the non-polar worldview that represented the main enemy of the culture war we are fighting. The non-polar worldview conceived as a transformation and overcoming of the unipolar or multilateral vision is in full swing. Today, this is the real and most dangerous antagonist of the multipolar world. The advent of this no-polar vision was announced by Professor Dugin more than a decade ago, not as possibility, but as an imminent certainty in the culture war we are fighting. The culture war is divided into three phases. The first two phases are asymmetrical. Asymmetry is determined by an unbalanced relationship between the opposing forces. In the first phase of the culture war, the power, the mainstream, prevents a new and dangerous idea from manifesting itself, that is, from coming to light over the longest possible period of time. The unique thought, the dominant thought, imprison it in a jail and try to silence it in every way. In the second phase of the culture war, after acknowledging that this idea, our idea, has nevertheless managed to escape from the prison in which it was locked up, a period of demonization and ridicule began. It is an attempt at discrediting with no holds barred. When this period also ends without having obtained the desired results, the third phase of the battle begins. The third phase of the culture war is finally symmetrical, but victory is still a long way off. The third phase of the culture war is the most insidious. The purpose of our enemy in this last phase is to contaminate an idea that is proving to be successful. The enemy tries to deprive the idea of its original strength. Power seeks to manipulate it and separate it from its creator and from the thinking labs that have nurtured, protected, and sprayed it. Apparently, it's the same that a part of the ruling power, still dominant, albeit in obvious difficulty, has accepted a confrontation. Instead, the power has simply changed the strategy to neutralize the idea. The history of those great social transformations, called revolutions, offer us many examples in this regard. This third phase is the most difficult to overcome. Here, the principle of orthodoxy of thought is vital importance, is of vital importance. Without the integral force of orthodoxy of thought, defeat is certain. Therefore, my intervention wants to invite to reflection on what countermeasures are necessary to win this further battle. I have identified two guidelines for an effective operational practice. The first guideline focuses on providing a clear picture, a deep analysis of how the multipolar theory has been understood or perceived at a different geographical and cultural latitude and longitude, both by those who declare themselves in favor and by those who think they are against. This task is accomplished through a documentary work that involves dialogue with various anthropists, analysts, geopolitical scholars, political philosophers, journalists, large companies executives, clergymen, influencers, and even politicians. It is important to carry on this research work by involving everyone. As I said before, both those who are in favor and those who are against, it is necessary to ask everyone what the multipolar vision is and why they are for or against it. This work must be translated into a documentary film to be disseminated. The second guideline focuses on using all artistic disciplines, both classical and innovative ones, to spread the multipolar thinking. Our research on the possibility of raising the consciousness of Western arts has confirmed that 90% of people between the ages of 25 and 40 no longer have a critical skills. It is a mass of living beings that can no longer be recovered without a critical conscience, and therefore homologated to the unique thought and reduced to the figure of terminals of a terminal. Much more interesting is data that is the data concerning the age ranging from 5 to 20 years in this age group it is absolutely possible to intervene successfully. Our efforts in popularizing multipolar thinking will target all age groups, but it is very important to especially focus our attention and the greatest investment of mental energy and economic resources to the adolescent group. Thus, also for this reason, an experimental culture laboratory started and took shape in Italy to study new form of communication of the myth, the ritual, and the symbol as elements of a formation of the individual to bring him closer to an ultra-physical dimension. Thank you for your attention. I am sorry for my English first.